Welcome to the teaching podcast of Wellspring Church in New York City. We are a community that seeks to live in the way of Jesus and hope that you will be encouraged by today's teaching.
Well, it's good to be with you at Wellspring. Before I hop into my message, you know, it's great to receive prayer from Olivia, but I actually want to give you a moment to pray. There is a reason why you are here. There's a reason you came. There's something that you would want from God in this moment. And what I want to do is give you that moment to ask God for that. There may be something you're distracted by too, so maybe you can surrender that so you can hear what I may have to say. But I'm going to give you a moment to surrender what's distracting you, but also be honest with God about why you're here today, of what you want. So take that moment to pray, and then I'll pray before we begin. Father, we declare that you are good. You're a good dad. And because you're a good dad, you know each and every one of these people, your children, your sons, your daughters. You know what they need. You know what they need from you today, what they need to hear. And so I ask that you would take anything that's of me and turn it away and just fill this space with your words. May they encounter you, Jesus, today. So we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As Olivia mentioned, I've had the privilege of spending more time with your team, and I want to let you know something. You have a great church. If you don't know that, if you're looking for a great church, congratulations, you stumbled on one. It's a beautiful community, but that's not just an accident. God has assembled a leadership team here that is really beautiful. And it starts with your lead pastors, you know, Seth and Genevieve Bazakis. They're incredible people. Probably deserve a bigger round of applause than that. But great people, become good friends. Be careful if Seth asks you to go to Queen's Pitch and Putt. If you're wondering what he was doing on his sabbatical, his short game is really good. So we had a good time on Friday doing that. But I also got to spend time with the full staff. And I would like to let you know that God's kind of assembled a spiritual Avengers for you. They are incredible. On top of that, he has gathered a worship team that is talented and gifted. And so can you give the worship team just a round of applause for leading us today? So I have the privilege of continuing this Kingdom Come series. And I want to highlight the role and the goal of this series for this community. Primarily talking about the role of prayer. If you've received any benefit from this community, it's because prayer is not a program of this church, it's a passion of this church. And because it's a passion, it has led into everything that happens here. I've been in the city for 15 years. I was a pastor for 12 of those 15. And I can say that the work of God happening in this community, not in just this community, but around the city, is this fruit of years of prayer. And we're seeing those answered here. And so when you hear about 24/7 prayer, when you hear about this series, Kingdom Come, this learning to pray, all these things, the goal is that what you've received as a benefit of corporate prayer, you would learn to experience in private, personal prayer. That it would become a core personality trait of yours, that you are a person of prayer. That would be the benefit. And so there's been different forms of prayer that have been talked about this summer. If you are gone, I encourage you to go back, listen to the podcast. These different forms will enhance and expand your understanding of what it is to pray with and to God. And today, I have the privilege of talking about something that has been the defining mark of my 3 decades of faith that has influenced me more than anything else, and that's the topic of conversational prayer. conversational prayer, meaning the ability for you to be honest, free, open, and talk with God face to face, everywhere, about anything at any time you want or need. Conversational prayer, this invitation of God to actually have a direct relationship with Him, not be mediated through a religious experience. And so that's what I want to unpack with you all, but we kind of know inherently the value of conversation. Different authors and philosophers throughout history have highlighted that conversation is essential to connection. Oscar Wilde described it as the lifeblood of human connection, saying whether it be marriage or whether it be friendship, all of it depends on conversation. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, he would say this about marriage. Marriage is one long conversation. When marrying, you should ask yourself this question. Do you believe you're going to enjoy talking with this woman into your old age? Everything else in marriage is transitory, but most of the time you are together will be devoted to conversation. Husbands are like, oh, that's why she wants to talk. The same can be said of faith, that relationship with God is ultimately one long conversation. That's what God invites you to. Inside of the Christian faith, there's plenty of religious activity. There's Sunday services and small groups and conferences and all these things. But when those end, there's a lot of space in between. And the invitation of God is not to just experience His presence here on a Sunday or on a small group throughout the week or when you come to do 24/7 prayer in this space. The invitation of God is that in that in between, that you know His presence and His power and His joy in those moments as much as you do here. And that is found through conversational prayer. And so my hope today is to take you through three parts of this message, to talk about the opportunity of conversational prayer, to talk about the obstacles that you and I put in the way of experiencing conversational prayer, and then how we overcome those obstacles. Three O's for you so you remember. It's easy to take notes. The first is to talk about the opportunity. And to highlight some of the opportunity, I want to take you to an Old Testament passage in the book of Exodus, and I want to highlight a conversation that God has with Moses. But before I do, I want to give you some context so you understand what you're entering into in this conversation. So in Exodus chapter 33 is what we're going to see, but in Exodus chapter 32, there's a scene that we've likely all heard about because it was made famous by the Disney classic Prince of Egypt in the last scene. And that is the work of the people of God after they've been set free from Egypt. Instead of just worshiping God directly, they make a golden calf. Instead of seeing God's power and saying, we'll only worship you, they return to an old way of thinking and say, we're going to worship this golden calf. So we're not entering into a good moment in this conversation. Things aren't great between God and His people. In fact, right before we see this moment, He tells Moses, you can go to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. You can have the promise, but I'm the promise giver and I'm not going to go. And then this conversation happens. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 8, we start to read, whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. And one day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name and I look favorably on you, and if that's true, that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. And the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth." And the Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." I want to make a few observations from this conversation with Moses and God about conversational prayer. The first observation I want to make for you is that there are no topics with God that are off limits. Here, Moses comes and he disagrees directly with God from the jump. God has just said, "I'm not going to go with you." And Moses is like, "Well, actually, I don't like that. I don't want the way you've talked about it now. I want it to be different. I want you to go with us. In fact, I will not go unless you personally go with us. I don't want that." See, sometimes we enter into the presence of God thinking that there's certain topics we can't address. We certainly enter into the presence of God at times, not with the boldness of Moses after something bad's happened. After something bad's happened, we typically avoid a conversation with God. Yet here, after they've worshiped the golden calf, what does he do? He marches right to the presence of God. See, when you've done something bad and you feel that guilt, the place to go is the presence of God. You don't have to be perfect before you enter the presence. That's the invitation of God. And on top of that, you don't have to kind of tiptoe around topics with him. He's not going to be shocked by the fact that you disagree with him. He's not going to be surprised by the thing that makes you angry or disappointed. He knows exactly what's going on at every time, at every moment. So you might as well take off the religious veil and talk honestly with him. There's no topics off limit with God. Are you angry? Get angry with God. Are you disappointed? Get disappointed in front of God. Are you happy? Get happy with God. Just express your gratitude to him. Bring it all into his presence. But the second observation I want to make is that there is also no tone that is off limits with God. Some of you have an attitude. You do. Some of you have more of an attitude than others. God says, "Bring me your attitude." He alone can handle whatever tone you want to bring to him. Moses comes in and questions him. Starts with a question. "You haven't told me. You said you're going to do this, but I'm not seeing it." You ever feel that way? Ever feel like God said he's going to do something? He's going to come through. He's going to do it this way. And you're like, "That is not what is happening. You said, but I see. Where are you at?" And that's what Moses does. And God invites us to do the same in conversation. He invites us to do the same. And in fact, he invites us to go further. Moses gets demanding. He says, "If you don't personally go, I am not going to leave." You ever put demands on God? He is happy when you do it. Call him on his promises. Call him on what he has said he's going to do. Tell him, "This is what you promised, and I want to see it." See, the more you look into the prayers and the conversations with God, you discover that every promise of God is dependent on a conversation with God. And every problem that the people of Israel face, the people of God face, is only solved by a conversation with God, either by you or for you. Some of your problems that have been solved, someone's prayed for that and it got solved. Some of your problems that you prayed for, it happened. See, that is the value of conversational prayer, is this opportunity to bring whatever and to bring it however you need to bring it. Don't wait till you feel ready to talk to God. Be like, "I'm mad at you. Until I stop being mad at you, then we're not going to talk." It works in marriage. No, it doesn't. But you try it. You don't need to do that with God. But here's what I want you to know, that the real opportunity is not about the topics or the tone. It's not about what you can bring to God or how you bring it. It's about the fact of who you bring it to. And this we lose sight of all too often. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. And the people of Israel looked on, and how many of them do you think longed to be in that tent? Oh, what would it look like to be talked to God face to face? And now, because of Jesus, you have that same opportunity to talk to Jesus, the Lord of all, the name above every name. You get to talk to him face to face. And let me just take a moment to remind you who Jesus is. See, I was looking through the New Testament, and there's a number of passages that just spend time describing him. So I did what all of us do. I copied and pasted it into ChatGPT, and I said, hey, lump this together. And Chat did a great job. So let me show you this description of Jesus as a reminder. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the radiance of eternal glory, the exact imprint of his being. If you've wondered what God is like, it's Jesus. Read the Gospels. That's what he's like. Through him, all things were made. Are you trying to create something? Are you trying to start something? He's the best creator. He's the best entrepreneur. He would love to talk to you about it. In him, all things hold together. Is anything breaking in your life? He's the one that can bring it back together. By his word, creation is sustained. Are you tired? Do you need to be sustained? His word can do it. He is the firstborn over all creation. He has seen it all. The firstborn from the dead. Death can't conquer him. The faithful witness, the one who's done everything right and can tell you how to do it. The ruler of kings on earth. His throne is more powerful. Yet he took the form of a servant. He wants to help you. So much that he humbled himself to the cross and by his blood has reconciled and healed all things. He's resurrected from the dead, overcoming all of life's challenges. He bears the name above every name. At his name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. He is Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty, now exalted to the highest place, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, sustaining all things by his powerful word. This is Jesus, and he says, come be my friend. Come be my friend. Over the last 3 years, it's been the hardest season of my entire life. And there are people that I have reached out to. On your phone, you have that favorites list. They had no idea how many phone calls I could make to them. I needed friends in this season. They would pick up the phone when I called. They didn't always do it, but they called back. I needed a ton of wisdom in this time, and so I'm a nerd, so I looked at every podcast I could possibly find to figure out who's done this before and how can they teach me. I've turned to spiritual advisors and pastors and said, please give me spiritual insight. But here's what I want you to know. Nothing, not one friend, not one podcast, not one pastor has been as good as being able to have a conversation with Jesus these last few years. To know at any moment whether I like to talk to him or he heard some nasty words towards him, he met me. And that's the Jesus I needed, and that's the Jesus I got. All of this description, and yet as a friend, not a foe. And that's the invitation. That's the opportunity that you and I get to experience. But with every opportunity, there are obstacles for us to obtain it. But here's what I want you to know about the obstacles to conversational prayer. There's no obstacle that God creates. There's only obstacles that you create. That if there is any inexperience of that with conversational prayer, it's on your end, not on his end. It's not his problem, it's a you problem. It's a me problem too, so I'm with you. So as I highlight these obstacles, what I want you to consider is what obstacle are you putting up in front of this opportunity that today you might take down? That you might stop making there be a gap or a wall between you and God, but that you would step into that. So I want to walk through a few potential obstacles for you. The first and the biggest is the obstacle of faith. If you have yet to say yes to God, you cannot expect to hear a yes from God. See, that is the biggest obstacle. And here's the good news. Faith is simply a conversation. That was my testimony 30 years ago. I didn't grow up in a religious home or a family of faith. Sports was religion in our household, and so if you performed well, you were saved. If you didn't perform well, there's some more sanctification that had to take place. So I got sent to a sports camp to get good at sports. It kind of worked. But it turns out it was a Christian sports camp, and they told me about Jesus. And I heard the gospel for the first time. And at those camps, they kind of send you out underneath the stars, go talk to God. I said, okay, I will. And he talked back. And as I said, God, what do you want? He said, I don't want a few weeks out of your summer. I want your whole life. And I said, yes. And then I went home and I said, hey, I said yes to God. I have no idea what that means. Can you take me to church? And to my parents' credit, they said yes. And that first yes is what I've been trying to maintain all these years, is a regular yes to God, because I want to hear a yes from God. And so for any of you who have yet to say yes to God, it's a very simple thing to say, yes, I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe he died for me. I believe he resurrected, and I want to follow him. It's a simple conversation. You can do it today. And after that obstacle gets torn down, there's very little that can stand in the way of you having a face-to-face conversation with God. But we're humans, and we find a way to make it more complicated than we need to. See, another obstacle that Christians still face is the issue of doubt. It's an obstacle for us. And not an existential, does God exist or not, but a little more personal. Does God care? And will he respond? And on the first question of God, does God care, I've asked that a lot the last few years. Because I'm like, you're the author of this story. I think we need to change up the writer's room, because it's a good drama, but it needs some levity. Can we get Adam Sandler to come in and offer some advice? I'm like, do you care? Do you care that this is the pain I'm facing? Do you care that these are the problems I have to figure out? Do you care that this is what I'm losing? Do you care? There's another form of that where we think, oh, God surely cares about the big things. I mean, Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Russia. God, yeah, you got some other bigger issues to fry. My problem's not that small. I'm just trying to get a parking spot for alternate side parking. No big deal. Does God care about everything I want to bring to him? Some of you may be asking that. And the only example that I can come up with that is I do have three amazing kids, but they've now become teenagers. So let's just say conversation is a little bit light these days. But nothing gives me more joy. Nothing is more meaningful than when they say, hey, Dad, can we talk? And that's me. They're imperfect, Dad. I wasn't the one who made them or created them the way God did. And see, God looks at you as his son and his daughter, and he's there ready. So you say, hey, Dad, can we talk? He's like, I've been waiting. That's your father. That's what the scriptures say. If we, humans, can care about our kids in that way, how much more can our Father in heaven? Yes, he cares about every little thing and every big thing. He's ready to talk to you. But then the question is, will he respond? Will he respond if I ask him for help? Will he respond if I ask him to give me insight? And let me resolve that for you. Sometimes he's silent. Sometimes there is no response. And I hate it. I get so mad. I'm like, you see something, say something. Let's go. I need to hear from you. Speak. And over these last couple years, what's been helpful is that God has helped me reinterpret his silence. Reinterpret it not as an absence, but as a presence that's listening. When God is silent, it means he's just listening to you. Because sometimes we want to talk to a friend and we just want them to listen. Sometimes we're not ready for their advice. And how much more patient is God with us to go when the time is right? But in the meantime, I'm here. And there were times when I would go on these long walks with God in the evening when it was nice out. I'm not crazy. And I would talk to him, and I'd feel like, oh, we're like, why don't you speak back? And then it was like, oh, but you're still here. See, the promise is not that God will always say something. It's the promise that he will always be there. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And that's the good news, is that even in silence, it's not his absence, it's his presence. And what I discovered is his presence is better even than his problem solving. So if doubt is your obstacle, trust. He cares, and he's there. Another obstacle I see Christians kind of throw up is this skills obstacle. I just don't know how to pray the right words. You know, like I heard Olivia pray, and I want to pray like that. Like, me too, I took notes. I'll give you the notes. We sometimes think there's a formula. Like, if we pray the right prayers in the right way, in the right prayer voice, then the reverence of God will respond. The right words with God are the real words from you. How do you really feel is all God is saying is right to say to him. And there have been times where he's got some bad language from me because I have not been fond of him. But who can handle my anger better than God? Certainly not others. That usually destroys relationship. But we can see with King David and his Psalms that his bad language and his harsh words to God only made that relationship more aligned with his heart. See, conversational prayer has the ability to take the chaos of our mind and our emotions and conform it into God's ways and God's ideas, unlike anything else. You don't have to have some special skill or prayerful language or right theology. God just says, come and talk to me and I'll conform all of that. Don't let that be an obstacle for you. The next obstacle I see is people say, God's too busy. It's my favorite Catholic objection. God's too busy, you can talk to Mary. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. And it's not true. I'm not against talking to Mary or Catholics. If you're Catholic here, no judgment. Like, we're all following Jesus. Go for it. But God's not too busy. What we see with Jesus when he walks the earth is he's only too busy for those who are too busy for him, which means he is super available to those who make themselves available to him. See, it was the Pharisees, the religious leaders that had no time for him, so he had no time for them. But everyone else that said, I just want to be around you. Even Zacchaeus, the worst of sinners, who want to climb to be to see him, you know. He's like, I got time for that person. God will never, ever be too busy for you. Two more objections. Your emotions. Now, I think your emotions at times serve not as a cognitive obstacle, but as an unconscious obstacle. See, emotions can be a fog in your life. They can be very confusing, chaotic, anxiety, depression, you know, sadness. All these things can feel like a fog. But they can turn into a force for your life if you process them. And oftentimes when you feel that emotional overwhelm, I just encourage you to go into conversation with God immediately. And just go, I'm feeling this and I don't know what to do. He loves to surround you and comfort you. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit, is to be with you and present and comfort you in mourning, to be with you in fears. He says, cast your fears on me and I'll give you peace. You want peace? Talk to God. That's what the invitation is. And the very last obstacle, I think, is that sometimes we want a part-time God. By which I mean, like, well, I want to talk to God about this, but I don't want to talk to God about that. That's good. Because I have some friends, and I know if I talk to them about this, they're going to agree with me. But if I talk to them about that, they're going to disagree with me. And so I'm fine, and we are fine at times, with a God that takes care of this part of our life, as long as he doesn't touch this part of our life. Here's the problem. When you say yes to God, he becomes a full-time God in your life. He's not a part-time God. He's a full-time presence. And so the invitation there is that he's not afraid to talk about anything you want to talk about. He's also not afraid to take time with you when you disagree with this part of your life that's not fully aligned with him. He's like, that's fine. Let's just talk about it. Because how does it become conformed? Through conversation. But what is your obstacle? Maybe it's this. Maybe it's something else. What are you putting in the way of experiencing God's regular presence, his regular power at work, at home, in your parenting, whatever it may be? What are you not talking to God about? That today it's time to start a conversation. It's time to remove those obstacles. And here's what I want to let you know about overcoming those obstacles as we move to this third part. You're not going to overcome by more knowledge. In this area, it's purely by practice. You're going to overcome by doing. You get better at conversation with anyone by having more conversations. When you started the workplace, it was kind of awkward, right? With the coworkers, with the boss. But the more you got to know them, the more they got to know you, the easier it was for the conversation. When you started dating, that awkward first date, if it went well, if it didn't do well, don't go on a second date. But if it went well, the conversation grows. See, this is the same reality with God. And here's what I want you to know is that God's engaging in conversation with you. He's just waiting for you to engage back. See, the power of a therapist is in the transparency of the patient, not just in their knowledge as a therapist. Their knowledge can only go so far as you meet them. God's connection to you will only go as far as you choose to meet him. He's really kind in that way. The power of a coach is only found when the athletes and the team choose to follow what he says. See, in similar way, God is saying, partner with me in conversation. And that's how you overcome. But as you do it, here's what I want to share with you a little bit of stuff that I've done to be able to discern God in a two-way dialogue instead of just a one-way dialogue. Because I think of sometimes prayer as just this sending up and then like, we'll see what happens. You know, lottery ticket. Hope it goes well. But God wants to have a two-way dialogue, but how do you know it's God speaking? How do you know it's not your thoughts? You know, God has an enemy he likes to talk to. How do you know it's not your friends, your family, your origin story that is informing you, your trauma? How do you know the difference between those things? And so over the years, I've kind of discerned a few things. I'm still on the journey. But there are some few things that have helped me. The first is simply just verifiable evidence. If I thought it was God, did it happen? And the way that I do that is journaling. I'll just ask and write a question to God, and then I'll wait and see. And if there's a thought that pops into my head or a verse or something, I'll write it down. And then I'll go back and look. And nothing is more hilarious than going back 5 years and reading what I thought God was saying and being wrong. But some of us are afraid of being wrong. And so we don't even ask. But what I want you to know is that if you are wrong and God is right, it's so much better. Because it's so much better to look back and go, man, I thought it was going to be this. I had no idea you had something better for me. This verifiable evidence, and over time, kind of seeing, oh, I was close there, I was a little bit there, I was off by timing there, oh, that's interesting, and learning by doing. But there's also a reason why God gives us his word. Because he doesn't speak in counter to how he's already spoken. His voice sounds the same. You know that really great familiar voice that when you pick up the phone and you hear it, you're like, ah, everything is good in the world. That best friend or that family member. That's the same with God's voice. As you begin to hear it over and over and over again, it feels familiar. It's like, this is what I was looking for. It's learning that over and over and over again. A couple other ways that God gives to help you discern is one, your body. There's a reason he gave you your body and your brain. He uses it. And there are times when I feel God's presence attached to something he's saying in a different way. Now, sometimes it's just chilly in the room, but other times I've been able to discern, okay, that's God at work. He didn't just give you a body to hold your soul from like origin to eternity. No, he gave you a body that there would be a physiological reaction to his presence, to what he's up to what other people are experiencing in the room so that there's some compelling act that his spirit can partner with your spirit to accomplish. It's for a purpose. He's given you a thought life to engage with, not just listen to. Just take those thoughts captive and conform them. Let there be a conversation that goes on with God in your head, not just with the voices that are there. See, this is the opportunity to deal with every obstacle we put in the way of our relationship with God by just doing it. And sometimes it's just hard to do that first step. But here's what I want to take you back to, is that scene in Exodus. And this time I want you to be the people on the outside thinking about watching this moment where Moses is walking through camp and everyone comes out to watch. And they watch him go into this tent and they see the Spirit descend on it. And they all get on their knees because they're just fixated on it. It's kind of the image that you get where they're looking at it going, oh, I wish I was in that tent. What is God saying to Moses now? I can't wait to find out. See, the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is there's no more wondering what it would like to be in that tent. You are now the tent of the Holy Spirit. And so everywhere, all the time, God with you. And so you get to approach him with that level of boldness. See, here's how Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, present it to you now. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, for there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You have a great high priest who is also a king sitting on a throne, who also says, come, my friend, tell me what's going on. And there are days I wake up and I believe that. And I feel like I roll out of bed and I'm like, oh, there you are in my mind on the throne and I can talk to you freely. And there are days that I wake up where my overthinking and my anxiety and the to-do list for the day and all the yesterday stuff just plagues me, and it feels like I'm in a fog, feels like I'm in a forest, and I feel like I have to hack through it to finally get back into the presence of God. But I cannot let my morning feelings define whether I'm going to experience the presence of God that day. And so I hear this verse calling me regularly, come boldly to the throne room to talk to your friend, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who knows you and loves you. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. And so that's the invitation for you, not just to go and do somewhere else, but to do it right now. What do you want to talk to God about today? See, Wellspring designs this moment of response for now, that you wouldn't put it off, you wouldn't wait, but that you would know God loves you now. And so as the band leads us to continue to worship, there's a few ways that you can respond. And I just encourage you to take the invitation. You can sit right where you're at and you can go, God, I've been waiting for the moment to talk to you about this. Can we speak? And he's like, yes, finally. For others of you, you need to physically move, and being at the posture of this altar, down, kneeling, changes a little bit of the dynamic for you. That's the opportunity for you to come and kneel at this altar to be able to talk with God directly. But for others, you don't know what to say. You just know you need it. And so that's why there are prayer leaders that are going to be here at the front on either side for you to come and say, here's what I want to hear from God about. I want to talk to God, but I don't know what to say. Will you pray for me on my behalf? God has given you this community that you would know the direct presence of God. We no longer have human mediators. Today, you can hear from your Lord, from your Savior, from your King, from your friend. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So let me pray for that, and then we'll respond together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all you did, but thank you for doing that and saying, now let's be friends. Thank you that you are the powerful one that can heal and provide, and thank you that you are the friend who will laugh and cry. And so Jesus, by your Spirit now, be for each of these people exactly what they asked for at the beginning. Speak to them, answer them. Let today be the beginning of a long conversation where they get to enjoy your presence forever. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our church community at wellspringchurchnyc.com.